Well, good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John O'Neill, and as Chairman of the Board of Directors, I welcome you to the Star Entertainment Group's Limited's 8th Annual General Meeting here at the stunning Gold Coast and via live audio webcast today. Before we start, may I ask everyone to please turn off your mobile phones to avoid interruptions to the meeting and interference with our audio-visual equipment. As a quorum is clearly present to constitute the meeting, I formally declare the meeting open. I'd like to begin by introducing your board of directors. I will ask each director to stand as I introduce them. With me today are Matt Bekier, our Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and our non-executive directors, Katie Leahy, Richard Shepherd, Jared Bradley, Sally Pitkin, Ben Heap, and Zlatko Todorovski. Also with us today are Paula Martin, our Company Secretary, Chad Barton, our Chief Financial Officer, and Megan Wilson, the company's audit partner from Ernst & Young for the 2018 financial year. Additional members of our executive management team are also in attendance today and will join us for refreshments after the meeting. Before we proceed to the items of business for the meeting, our Managing Director and CEO, Matt Bekier, and I will provide our reports to the company. Last year, I spoke of transformational projects being carried out across our properties, highlighting our commitment to delivering world-class tourism and entertainment destinations. 1 year on, and nowhere is this more evident than right here at the Star Gold Coast, an almost unrecognisable destination compared to when we last gathered here 2 years ago in 2016. Since then, we have refurbished all 596 hotel rooms at the Star Grand Hotel, added 11 award-winning food and beverage outlets, opened our all-suite hotel, The Darling, opened new premium gaming areas to meet international and domestic VIP customer demand, made the Star Gold Coast a real contender in the international VIP business, and underlined the Star Gold Coast positioning as a global tourism destination by hosting significant international and national events, including as the official partner of the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games. There is still more to come for the Star Gold Coast, and our Managing Director and CEO, Matt Bekier, will talk to this in more detail shortly. Before we continue, I'd like to welcome to the Board of Directors table today Zlatko Todorovski and Ben Heap. Zlatko and Ben were appointed during the financial year, adding further depth of experience and skills to your board. At this important stage of the company's growth strategy, this depth and strength will ensure the board continues to maintain vigilant oversight and appropriate governance in relation to the Star's strategic plan, culture, stakeholder engagement and operations. I thank my fellow directors for their ongoing commitment. I will introduce Zlatko and Ben further as we come to the relevant items of business as we seek your support for their elections today. Moving briefly to the company's performance, I am again pleased to report that FY18 saw strong financial results with record gross revenues for the group, record normalised earnings of $588 million and record normalised net profit after tax of $258 million. Importantly, this was a high quality result with broad-based growth across the domestic business, market share gains in key gaming segments and an improving momentum in earnings over the course of the year. Statutory results were, however, impacted by a low actual win rate in the international VIP rebate business and significant items which were in line with previous disclosures and which Matt will talk to in more detail. In March this year, the board also revised the company's dividend policy, increasing the target payout ratio to a minimum of 70% of normalised NPAT. The board made this determination in light of the Star's strong financial outlook, extension of the capital light growth strategy, which I'll come to in a moment, and having regard to the Star's strong franking credit generation. This new dividend policy provides for materially increased cash dividend returns to all shareholders on a fully franked basis. In line with this revised policy, and as a reflection of the positive earnings momentum, the board declared a final dividend of 13 cents per share fully franked, taking total dividends for the year to a record 20.5 cents per share fully franked. This total dividend is up 28% on FY17. As in FY17, the company's financial results in FY18 were achieved while transformational projects continued to be carried out and effectively delivered across our properties. The earnings momentum in our existing business, continued operating efficiency, efficient commercialising of investments and long-term tourism forecasts underpinned confidence in the group's strategic priorities. Last year, I spoke in detail about the growth of our partnership with Hong Kong-based joint venture partners Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium. At that time, we had added the Sheraton Grand Mirage Gold Coast to our portfolio of valuable joint venture assets. In FY18, we took this relationship to another level, establishing expanded partnership through a strategic alliance to enhance the long-term value of the Star's properties and core businesses. More specifically, there are two key components in place. First, an in-principle commitment between the partners to pursue development projects at the Gold Coast and in Sydney, in addition to the Queen's Wharf Brisbane development and the first stage of the master plan here at the Gold Coast. We have already made great progress here in Queensland, which you can see outside today, and we are committed to continuing to pursue development approvals for the Ritz-Carlton at the Star in Sydney. Secondly, we have a commitment to develop a marketing alliance which leverages our partners' expertise, networks, customer bases and loyalty programs to drive incremental high-value tourism to the Star's properties. This will be particularly important as we approach the opening of new facilities at the Queen's Wharf Brisbane Integrated Resort. Our network of sought-after resorts along the east coast of Australia, together with our partners' understanding of the Asian consumer, distribution networks and other relevant businesses, positions the Star to benefit from the significant growth opportunity. In addition, Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium each acquired 4.99% equity interest in the Star, with regulatory approvals being sought to increase this to a collective total of 19.9%. Through this equity placement, each of the partners acquired 45.8 million new fully paid ordinary shares at $5.35 per share for a total of $490 million. In addition to the strategic alliance providing potential for further efficient capital investment, welcoming CTF and FEC as shareholders aligns our collective interests in relation to the long-term growth and performance of the Star. As your board of directors, we are confident that this expanded partnership with CTF and FEC not only further solidifies our company's growth strategy, but also enhances the long-term value of the Star for all shareholders. We are pleased to have developed such depth in the relationship with our partners in the short period since forming the successful joint venture Destination Brisbane Consortium and successfully bidding for the Queen's Wharf Brisbane development in 2014. This short concept video shows the first of our joint venture projects here on the Gold Coast, the Dorset Hotel and the Star Residence Tower. Approved during FY18, work on site is now underway. Just ad lib for a moment, because that's a great relief that video came on. This time last year, the AGM was in Sydney. We got to this point, and we had a malfunction with our video equipment, and we had no videos. So everything works on the Gold Coast. Our portfolio of tourism, entertainment, and gaming assets continues to expand at scale and to a level of quality that positions us favourably with any global competitor. This ensures we are well placed to capitalise on opportunities within the domestic market and from the sustained growth in international tourism. This was seen at the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games, where the place to be was right here at the Star Gold Coast. Across New South Wales and Queensland, we are proud to continue growing employment opportunities across our diverse workforce and to continue making significant tax and local economy contributions. In closing, I'm very pleased to report that in FY18, we continued progressing our vision of becoming Australia's leading integrated resort company through delivering on our growth strategy, achieving strong financial results, and consistently delivering as a trusted community partner in our attractive local destinations, including right here on the Gold Coast. On behalf of the board, I particularly want to thank Matt Bekier for his continued committed and effective leadership and congratulate him, along with the management team, on their efforts and dedication and on returning value to shareholders. Further, I extend my gratitude to all our shareholders for your ongoing support through our company's transformation and growth. As I hand over to our Managing Director and CEO, Matt Bekier, please enjoy this short video of our most recent groundbreaking ceremony for the Dorset Hotel and Apartments Tower, where we were joined by none other than the Queensland Premier. Thank you very much.
Wonderful to be back here on the Gold Coast, and what a huge sign of confidence in the Gold Coast economy. Then the turning of the sod on this brand new Dorset Hotel, creating 1,800 jobs for people living here on the Gold Coast. This is wonderful news for tourism. It's wonderful news for the confidence that Star and the Dorset are showing here in Queensland. And as John said, it now brings the Star investment into the southeast corner of our state to over $4.5 billion. So with the Commonwealth Games, the opening of the beautiful Darling just next door, of course we've had the Logies here on the Gold Coast, so much is happening here and we just want to keep that continue for many, many years to come. So congratulations, and I think the Mayor and I said we're looking forward to coming back in, what was it, 2022 for the opening.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Gold Coast really has had a remarkable year. As you can see all around you, our plans to transform this property into a world-class global tourism destination have come to life in this period. As promised, we opened the new luxury hotel, the Darling, prior to the Com Games. The Darling is the best hotel on the coast and houses 19 at the Star, a restaurant and lounge bar that has been earning accolades from the night that we opened. Our confidence in the tourism opportunity available to Southeast Queensland has been the catalyst for the large investment we are making with our partners Charter Folk and Far East. We're investing for the long haul on the back of that tourism research that supports the strategy that we're following. If you will now indulge me for a couple of minutes, I will take you through a brief review that highlights how we're progressing towards our vision of becoming the leading integrated resort company in Australia, with the best tourism and entertainment destinations in the region. Let me start in Brisbane. We moved from demolition to excavation at Queen's Wharf. Works have also commenced on the public realm, which includes the Mangrove Walk and Waterline Park, part of the Riverfront Beautification Program, and upgrading a 500-metre stretch of the Bicentennial Bikeway. All three areas are expected to be completed in the second half of 2019. At the existing Treasury property, we have reinvigorated our dining experiences with the inclusion of Black Hyatt by Gambaro. This award-winning restaurant opened in June. We also improved the performance at Treasury along multiple dimensions following the move to a new dedicated leadership structure, including the appointment of a chief operating officer who's here with us today. At the Gold Coast, the Darling Hotel was completed on time and on budget, as John mentioned. Approvals were obtained for the Dorset Hotel and the Star Residences, with that project now under construction. And you just saw the clip that showed you the sod turning with the Queensland Premier. The estimated development cost for the 700-key tower has now been locked away at $370 million, well below earlier estimates. We expect to deliver that project with the same precision that we demonstrated in constructing the Darling. We're also continuing to progress with the Queensland Government the approval process for our expanded Gold Coast Master Plan, and we expect to provide you with more information on that very soon. The Comm Games came to the Gold Coast, and we played a central role in hosting athletes, dignitaries, organisers and media while showcasing the Star Gold Coast and the Sheraton Mirage to the world and to locals alike. Following the Comm Games, we hosted the Lokis for the first time, another event to embed the Star Gold Coast as the entertainment hub in Southeast Queensland. In Sydney, we fine-tuned the development application for the Ritz-Carlton Tower and advanced it further in the planning progress. We opened our intermediate sovereign room facilities in August, drawing positive reviews and responses from our premium guests. The Astral Lobby and Port Cochere refurbishments are progressing well, as is the main entry foyer upgrade, on track for completion later this financial year. The Star Sydney hosted the ACTA Awards and the ARIAs, the biggest entertainment awards nights in the film and music industries in Australia. You're not going to like the next bit, but the New South Wales Blues also held their welcome home reception at the Star Sydney after winning the Rugby League State of Origin Series, the Star being the official home of the Blues. Let me pause now for a minute and play a video highlighting some of these milestone moments. During the year, we won significant rewards and recognition for our properties in Queensland and in Sydney. The Darling Hotel in Sydney received a 5-star rating, the ultimate acknowledgement from the Forbes Travel Guide. The Darling is the only luxury hotel in New South Wales to hold that 5-star status, and it has enjoyed that leading position for the last 2 years. Our restaurants continue to set fine dining standards across Sydney, Gold Coast and Brisbane. For example, Momofuku at the Star Sydney was rated the second best restaurant in Australia by Gourmet Traveller. Sokyo continues to hold one hat from the Good Food Guide. The same recognition has been afforded to its sister restaurant, Kiomi, here at the Gold Coast. And Black Hyde at Treasury in Brisbane was recognised just 1 month after opening as serving the finest steaks in Queensland. The second best steak in the Courier Mail Food Awards went to 19 at the Star here at the Gold Coast. Again, if you would like to turn your attention to the big screen to see what's behind these successes. You'll agree that what you've seen in these videos is worthy of celebration. And I'd like to thank our committed, talented teams, almost 9,000 team members across Queensland and Sydney, who are bringing these thrilling experiences to life for the more than 20 million guests that we welcome to our properties each year. Just this week, our team was recognised at the 2018 Savour Australia Restaurant and Catering Awards, winning the National George Muir Professional Development Award for our apprenticeship program, which is a great recognition. I'm looking now at our financial results for 2018, which were released in August. As John mentioned, the results were strong. We had broad-based domestic growth, especially in slots, Queensland tables and non-gaming. Our non-gaming revenue was up 16% on the previous year to $287 million, signalling a positive response from our guests to our completed investments, particularly on the Gold Coast, where our non-gaming was up 19%. We gained share in key gaming segments, notably slots in Sydney and the Gold Coast, and in the international VIP rebate business. I would like to highlight the international VIP business performance. Turnover was up 54% in the year to a record of $61 billion. And normalised revenue increased by 52%. We now have the largest VIP business in Australia and New Zealand, and we continue to see positive impact from our diversification strategy into new source markets. Sydney is the number one VIP destination in the region, and Gold Coast has overtaken Perth to be number three. And despite growing so strongly, we had record low debts as a percentage of revenue. So all in all, a stellar effort from the VIP team. For the full year, statutory gross revenue across the group grew 6% to a record $2.6 billion. Normalised gross revenue was up 15% to a record $2.7 billion. Normalised EBITDA was up 14% to $588 million. And statutory EBITDA was down 19%. Impacted primarily by the low actual win rate of 1.16%, well below the theoretical win rate of 1.35% and the luck that we had in the period before. Best explained, last year our guests were very lucky. It's in the nature of our business. Normalised NPAT was up 20% to $258 million, while statutory NPAT of $148 million was down 44% in the comparable period. Again, impacted by the low actual win rate and one-off costs, such as the USPP debt restructuring and Gold Coast pre-opening and launch costs. Operating expenditure was up 7% on the previous year due to increased domestic and international gaming volumes, new and upgraded facilities here at the Gold Coast, and higher wage rates, offset by our continued cost management. I'm turning now to the trading in this financial year. So for the period from the 1st of July to the 21st of October 2018, group domestic revenue is up 6.7% on the previous comparable period. Our domestic business is showing good momentum, with both Sydney and Queensland growing at similar levels. We are particularly pleased with the performance of the intermediate sovereign room in Sydney and the effective transitioning of our highest value customers into that space. The international VIP business, in the international VIP business, normalised revenue is in line with the prior comparable period, with statutory results up strongly on the back of a better than theoretical win rate in this financial year. As always, we note that the VIP business exhibits volume and win rate volatility over short periods of time. In addition, the current quarter, the second quarter of 2019, faces a very strong prior comparable period. Our operational expenses continue to grow in line with our business volumes, with incremental investments in Sydney for the intermediate sovereign room and new and expanded product at the Gold Coast. Our capital investment programs are proceeding as planned, with our progress increasing our confidence that we will successfully deliver on all of these investments. Our priorities for the 2019 financial year are clear. We plan to first improve earnings across the group, operate our assets as best as we can to continually enhance customer service and efficiency, deliver the next stage of our capital plans, and finally, ensure that we maximise the opportunity to leverage the network that Charter Hall and Far East bring to our expanded strategic partnership. In closing, I would like to thank the board and our management team for their support and extend at the same time our gratitude to all the team members whose commitment has been crucial to our ongoing growth. Thank you also to the investors for their continued support, with the share register now also including our valued partners, Charter Hall and Far East. I especially want to thank the millions of guests who visited us again this year and enjoyed the considerable improvements that we continue to make to our properties. I will now pass back to John for the formal business of today's meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. I think, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we've made great progress on our transformational projects this year, and we look forward to unveiling even more next year. We now come to the formal business of the meeting. The notice of this meeting was sent to all shareholders on the 24th of September 2018, and copies of the notice were also available in the foyer this morning. So I'll take the notice of meeting as read. Before we start on the items of business, I'd like to outline the key procedural aspects of the meeting. First, only shareholders, their appointed proxies or corporate representatives are entitled to make comments, ask questions or vote at this meeting. All other attendees are, as always, welcome as observers. Second, to allow the greatest opportunity for all in attendance to participate, any comments or questions must be relevant to the business of the meeting. As in the past, your board and members of the management team will be available after the meeting to speak with you. If you wish to make a comment or ask a question about a specific resolution, please make your way to a microphone when the resolution is being considered. Please show your green or yellow admission card to your microphone attendant and they will introduce you. If you have more than one question on any item of business, please ask your questions together. I will then address each of your questions in turn. Some shareholders have previously submitted their questions on the question form that was provided with the notice of meeting. I will address some of the more frequently raised questions and topics when we get to the relevant item of business. Separate responses have already been provided to other individual queries. Turning to voting, you will need a green card to vote on each resolution. If you are a joint shareholder or you have already voted prior to the meeting, you would have received a yellow non-voting card, which means that you may speak at the meeting but not vote. If you are eligible to vote and you have not received a green card, please see a representative of Link Market Services in the foyer. As a reminder, visitors holding a red card are not eligible to vote or speak at the meeting. As stated in the notice of meeting, voting on each of the resolutions will be conducted by poll. This ensures fairness to all shareholders as it takes into account all direct votes, proxy votes and votes on the floor. I will now open the poll. If you need to leave early, you can place your completed voting card in one of the ballot boxes near the exit. If you have any questions about how to complete the voting card, again, please see a Link Market Services representative here today. In relation to the items of business to be considered today, the resolutions in items 2 to 6 are ordinary resolutions that require a majority of votes in favour of the resolution. As we commence discussion on each item in the notice of meeting, the total number of valid proxy votes and direct votes received for that item and how those votes have been directed will be displayed on the screen behind me. The results of the poll will be released to the ASX later today after the votes have been counted. I now turn to the individual items of business in the order set out in the notice of meeting. Item 1. The first item on the agenda is to receive and consider the financial statements, the director's report and the auditor's report for the year ended 30th of June 2018. The financial statements were approved by the directors and audited by Ernst & Young. There will be no voting on this item as it is a discussion item only. However, in a moment I will invite your questions and comments. As I mentioned earlier, Megan Wilson, the Ernst & Young partner responsible for the audit, is present today and available to answer any questions relevant to the conduct of the audit and the preparation and content of the auditor's report. Shareholders have had the opportunity to submit written questions to the auditor prior to the meeting. No questions for the auditor were received. On some question forms that we've received back from shareholders, there have been suggestions to consider holding the AGM in other locations and to potentially provide some space at our properties to watch the proceedings of the AGM through a video link. In relation to the physical location of the AGM, the approach that we have historically taken is to convene the AGM at our own properties, alternating between Sydney and here at the Gold Coast. This is because we are proud, immensely proud, to showcase our venues. We currently don't have any facilities to hold an AGM in Brisbane, but that will change once Queen's Wharf development is completed, which will be very exciting. As done in prior years, this meeting is also being audio webcast live today, so that anyone who cannot attend in person can listen to the proceedings in real time. To further increase accessibility, we will explore additional means of using technology to broadcast AGMs. I will now move straight to inviting questions about the financial statements, the director's report and the auditor's report. This is your opportunity as shareholders to ask questions or make comments about the management of the company or the company's operations in the last financial year, and to hear directly from your chairman, the board, managing director and CEO, and other executive management members. So, now take questions.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce Silvana Eccles, representative of the Shareholders Association, as proxy.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Board of Directors. My name is Silvana Eccles and I'm here representing Carol Limmer, who you will know, and the Australian Shareholders Association. On behalf of Carol, I would firstly like to commend you on the relatively user-friendly annual report. She asked me to pass that on.
Thank you.
I also thank you, Matt, for explaining the theoretical win rate, because that was one of our questions, and on behalf of shareholders, we do hope it increases in the next year. I just have a simple question. I just wondered what you might be doing to diversify your international VIP guests into Asia beyond China.
Thanks, Silvana, and thank you to Carol as well. Please pass on our regards, and to the ASA more generally. Our diversification into other markets other than China commenced just over 2 years ago. I mean, we were alert to the fact that having all our eggs in one basket and relying on China was not a sensible strategy going forward. So our diversification strategy has paid off. I think there's something like 13 other countries now that we source for VIP customers and mass premium customers. So diversification is working. Clearly, you know, China remains an incredibly important market for us, but diversification is a sensible strategy.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce shareholder Roman Kinskinskovs from Sydney Shareholder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to thank the board and our CEO, Mr. Matt Bekier, who spent a lot of effort to get our company an extra $500 million in March 2018. That is, I'm sure, will be do well for our company. Also, I would like to thank to Mr. Jeff Hogg, the Managing Director of Queensland, and his team. What Jeff did to the Gold Coast is absolutely magnificent. When I visited Gold Coast, I was amazed by what I saw. The casinos, all levels, were full. Queues for every restaurant and on our premises. And the most important part, everyone enjoying our facilities. The players at our VIP room are actually enjoying the new facilities, and the servers are second to none. It was an amazing experience. Unfortunately, Ancats are the same about our flagship, Sydney Casino. Our VIPs continue to flee to other casinos. When I raised it with our Sydney Casino management, I was surprised that the management knew about current casino offering our VIP guests limousine service to airport, private jets to Melbourne, limousine service from airport, and the best room in the Crown. All this for free. We are offering our VIP guests a chance to win $3,000 on Friday. Not only Crown are still in our VIP, but even cruising company have started to attract our VIPs with free cruises, everything for free on board, just for playing on the ship. Luckily, some of our VIPs are going to our Gold Coast casino, so not everything lost. Can I ask the board to look into Sydney casino management, as I'm also unhappy with the cost of our temporary VIP room. Matt, I can see you have been our CEO for almost 5 years. What are your plans for the future? Are you you are doing a good job, and I'm sure other shareholders would like to see you stay as a company for another 5 years. To finish on a good note, I would like to thank our hotel management that are doing a great job. As Mr. Chairman mentioned, our darling hotels, both in Sydney and Gold Coast, absolutely magnificent. And our darling hotel in Sydney was highlighted by Forbes Travel Guides in our annual 2018 Star Award winners, bestowing the highest ranking in 5-star to the darling, the first and only hotel in New South Wales to receive top honor and only hotel in 2 years in a row. Thank you.
Can I thank you, Roman, for those very thoughtful and constructive comments. Greatly appreciated. Before I hand over to Matt to respond to the specific question you posed of him, I'll just touch on Matt's tenure. He took over as managing director beginning of 2014, and as I've said on many occasions, doing a terrific job. The board has had regular discussions with Matt as to an alignment between the board's wishes and Matt's, and frankly, it's our intention, the board's intention and Matt's intention, that all things being equal, Matt will be with us until 2024, which coincides with the completion of Queen's Wharf and some other significant projects. So there's no certainties in life, as we know, but the intention of the board and Matt is that he is in for the long haul, which gives us, you know, certainty and stability, which are two commodities the company values very highly. Sydney, Star Sydney is our engine room, and Roman, you're right, we've done wonderful things here at the Gold Coast. I've been chairman now for 6 years. I think back to the old Jupiters and what we inherited after the demerger. Not a penny had been spent on this property, and I spoke about the work that's gone into refurbishing 596 rooms, the new bars and restaurants, the pool area, the new private gaming rooms, the new main gaming floor, and the new Darling Hotel. Just absolutely transformed. But there's a power of work going on in Sydney as well. You know, the Darling Hotel is just wonderful. What was called the Astral is now the Star Grand. All of those hotel rooms and the residences have been refurbished as well. And we've started work on the new Sovereign Resort, which will be completed in a couple of years' time. In the interim, we've moved to an intermediate sovereign room, which the board has inspected on several occasions during construction and when it was open. It's a wonderful, truly wonderful temporary sovereign room, and it is being patronised exceptionally well by our very important customers, who number about 6,000. I'll now hand over to Matt, who can talk about VIP services, planes, cars, and other benefits that we give our VIP customers.
Thank you, Chairman. Look, the only additional point I would want to make, Roman, is we are aware of the situation in Sydney and the fact that the competition with Crown is intensifying. And it's only going to get more intensive when Crown opens up in 2021. So everything we're doing right now is to be ready for that. As a result of that, and because of planning in New South Wales and in Sydney in particular, takes a lot longer than doing business in Queensland, we want to make sure that we have all our ducks lined up and are ready with our sovereign resort well in advance of Crown opening up. And so that has forced us to move the VIP guests into temporary facilities, and there's a lot of disruption at the site right now. That's just the trade-off that we had to make. But I thank you for your observations about the competitive nature that we're finding ourselves in with Crown, and I invite you to take it up with Greg Hawkins, who's here today, to share more, maybe some of your ideas of what we can do better. Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Microphone 3. I would like to introduce Ian Timmons, who is attending today's meeting as a shareholder.
Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. I'd just like to raise a few issues here, if I may. First, the recent sale of almost 10% of the company to Chinese entities. If they want a share, let them buy it on the open market. You've diluted the value of all other shareholders' holdings by a significant amount. And if the state of the company is as good as we are led to believe, there should have been no problem in borrowing the money if it was necessary. Better still, run the company so that it generates the necessary funds itself. Star is no longer primarily a casino operator. It's becoming just another construction company. And if shareholders have to rely on construction revenue for a return on their investment, then I fear for the future of the company. What will happen when there is no longer any land available on the island to develop? Will returns then slump? Next is the issue of the new rewards scheme. It drives patrons crazy. They can't win a decent number of, they can win a decent number of points one day, but the next day find that they have even fewer than they had that they started with the day before. It discourages players and upsets them for no valid reason. Under the previous systems, points accumulated gradually over the period and people knew where they stood. People have no idea where they stand under the new system. Just scrap it. When is this company going to stop giving money to people who do not contribute 1 cent to it? I refer to the current scratchy competition and the previous swipe competitions. No doubt they are successful in bringing people to the casino, but I know people who come for the free movies, swipe their card if the competition is on, have a free meal with any prizes, then leave without spending 1 cent. And a lot of people swipe for absent relatives and friends who come once at the end of the, to redeem any prizes and eat for free or play with the casino money, never their own. I have personally seen one person swipe 7 cards and heard of another swiping 13. They cut the chances of proper players winning any prizes. How does that help shareholder returns? And finally, I refer to the 2014 AGM where Beryl Smith raised the issue of then black card holders having to share the gaming area of smokers. In response, the company assured us that there would be separate smoking and non-smoking areas in the new casino and asked that players bear with the situation until the new casino was built. An article in the Gold Coast Bulletin of 1st of November 2014 says, Echo Chairman John O'Neill admitted he was unaware of the problem. That is worrying. It is certainly news to me, Mr. O'Neill said. It went on to say, a contrite Mr. O'Neill assured Mr. Smith he would work to resolve the issue. And in another article from the same paper on the 4th of November 2014 states, Echo Entertainment bosses yesterday confirmed separate high roller rooms for non-smokers will be included in the $345 million revamp of Jupiter's casino at Broadbeach. Where are the separate smoking areas in the new casino? Simply erecting a short screen and some in-floor ventilation does not constitute a separate smoking area. Smoke does not know it must remain within those confines. The problem has improved, but players did not get what was promised. The company has misled shareholders and patrons for the past 4 years, and so much for the efforts to resolve the issue. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian. On the question of the private placement, or your comment on the private placement, the Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium, the board stands by its decision to have conducted a private placement rather than CTF and FEC buying the open market. That decision has to be looked at in conjunction with the strategic alliance with CTF and FEC, which I spoke to, and the very significant benefits that will flow from that in the fullness of time.
You're saying that they have to have a share of the company in order to proceed with that arrangement. Have we got a share in their companies?
No, we don't. Well. But it's more likely that the benefits will flow now that our interests are aligned, not just as joint venture partners, but also having them on the share register. They're companies of real substance. They're companies with a knowledge of Asia, their networks, their distribution channels, their experience in construction and development is of enormous benefit to the Star Entertainment Group. So we're very comfortable with that decision. Your suggestion that we're no longer a integrated resort company, we're a construction company, I just refute that. We have a vision to be Australia's best integrated resort company. And you look at the destinations where we operate, Sydney, Gold Coast and Brisbane, and every big investor I speak to, and I speak to them regularly, absolutely buy in to the strategic vision of being Australia's best integrated resort company. But you can't achieve that ambition without improvements of the sort that we've executed here at the Gold Coast. I mean, look what we inherited after the demerger, the old Jupiters, and look what we've got today. Now, you don't achieve that without spending money. You know, you look at the Queen's Wharf site. That is a dream come true for an integrated resort company to have a 13-hectare site in the CBD of Brisbane, a city of almost 3 million people. But to build the 5 hotels, the entertainment precinct, and all that goes with it, yes, you have to build it. And same applies in Sydney. You know, the big mistake by various owners of these assets is they neglected the assets. They allowed them to fall into disrepair. They were neglected. We are not neglecting these assets. We are adding value, which shareholders will benefit from enormously in the years to come. Look, in terms of your comments about the reward schemes, and I thank you for your feedback. I suggest that we take that offline, and you can chat to Jeff Hogg and other members of the executive team when we adjourn for drinks and a bite to eat at the conclusion of the meeting.
Why won't you let all shareholders know the results of those discussions then?
Of what discussions?
If I have with Jeff about these reward schemes and that. The rewards card system's broken just now. People just don't know what's happening.
This is an annual general meeting, and I can assure you that Jeff, as the managing director of our Queensland properties, is in the best position to deal with the comments and complaints you've made about the reward scheme. Just on smoking, we work within the regulatory framework and are fully compliant. We have risk mitigation strategies in place to effectively manage the extraction of smoke in our premium gaming areas. This includes state-of-the-art air extraction technologies. We're also focused on continuous improvement in this area.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce shareholder Mr. Noel Levy.
Morning, Noel.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My question relates actually to this Hong Kong partners taking up these shareholdings. I'm surprised that you've allowed them to get... It's pretty close to 20%. So that could be if... in the future, somebody wished to take over the company, that could be a blocking stake you're giving to those two companies. So I just cannot understand why you should have done that. If it was shortage of money, you should have surely come to us. Perhaps you did check out on fund managers and they weren't very receptive to the idea. But it just surprises me that you had to do it.
Thank you. The legislation under which we operate in both New South Wales and Queensland prohibits any one shareholder from going above 10% without regulatory approval. Under the legislation, Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium are treated as associates, so their current shareholding is 9.9%. So they're not at 20%. They may, once they get approval and have passed the regulatory investigation, and that approval is granted, they're at liberty to buy further shares on the market. The strategic alliance. Aspect of this I don't think has been fully appreciated at times, I won't spell it all out again today, but the benefits that they bring, and remembering that the relationship started with them in 2014, You know, we're 50% of Destination Brisbane. They're 25-25. And from that fantastic opportunity in Brisbane, the relationship has grown. We understand them exceptionally well. They understand us. And we're just committed to the strategic alliance and the benefits that they will bring to all shareholders.
Just relating to the share price, previous to the announcement, the share price had been dropping, and it's basically dropped since. So to you, it might be a good decision, to the board, but to a lot of investors, it obviously hasn't been a good decision.
The decline in the share price is can't be blamed on CTF and FEC's arrival on the share register. There are a number of contributing factors to the decline in the share price. If you go back a while, there were the arrests in China of the 19 Crown employees. Clearly that cast a big shadow over the industry, and our share price, you know, suffered the consequences. We then, you know, once the Crown issue was resolved, you know, the market recovered, as did our share price. We are undervalued, there's no doubt, and the recent decline is really related to an overall significant drop in the share market. It's, you know, the biggest decline in 3 years. So I don't think there's any nexus between the decline in our share price and the arrival of Chow Tai Fook and Far East.
Just one other question relating to money owed by the big players. What's the situation with that at the moment? Is it improved, or, you know, what amount of money, what order of magnitude is actually owed by these whales, or whatever they call them?
Yeah, I'll hand over to Matt, but the board is comfortable with our provision for bad and doubtful debts and receivables, and we are exceptionally vigilant in terms of this component of our business. Matt.
Thank you, Chairman. As the Chairman pointed out, we've had a very good track record in managing the risks related to collecting the winnings. We've been averaging about 3.5% of gross revenue as a receivable, and we continue to track in that range in this financial year as well. If I may also, Chairman, just quickly go back to the first question that Mr. Levy asked. I just want to highlight that as part of the placement agreement, we have contractual arrangements with these partners that if there is a transaction for Star, they have to vote their shares with the rest of the board. They cannot block any transaction. So we've been able, by entering into this agreement, put in place a range of safeguards to make sure that the independence and the value of the company is preserved. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Any further questions on the director's report, financial statements? Well, as we have now addressed a reasonable number of questions and comments, I'll move on to the next item of business, still to be considered, and a reasonable opportunity has been provided. So items 2 to 4, the next three items on the agenda. The director standing for re-election at this meeting is Dr. Sally Pitkin, who is retiring in the normal course by rotation. The two directors standing for election at this meeting are Mr. Zlatko Togoreski and Ben Heap. As noted in the notice of meeting under the company's constitution, any director who is appointed by the board may hold office only until the end of the next annual general meeting following their appointment and is eligible for election at that meeting. There are two directors under consideration for election at this meeting who were appointed after the last annual general meeting. The resolutions relating to the elections and re-election are all ordinary resolutions which require a majority of votes cast by shareholders entitled to vote on the resolution or by their appointed proxy or authorised representative. Each of the directors, other than the relevant director standing for election or re-election, recommends the election and re-election of each of the other directors. I now turn to the individual directors. Re-election of Dr. Sally Pitkin. That's item two on the agenda, is the re-election of Sally as a director of the company. Sally retires in accordance with the company's constitution and being eligible offers herself for re-election. Sally was appointed as a NED, non-executive director, in December 2014 and was last re-elected as a director at the 2015 AGM. Sally is the chair of the Remuneration Committee and she is currently also a member of the Audit Committee and the People, Culture and Social Responsibility Committee. As is customary for directors seeking election, I welcome Sally to address shareholders in attendance with a few words. Sally.
Thank you, Chairman, and good morning, everyone. It has been my privilege to serve as a director of your company since December 2014, and I thank shareholders for their support. As the Chairman mentioned, I have had special responsibility as the Chair of the Remuneration Committee since that time. I have extensive experience in remuneration matters for listed companies and have over 12 years' experience as the Chair of Remuneration and Human Resources Committees in other companies. I started my career in the law and specialised in corporate and banking law and was a senior corporate partner at a national law firm. Since retiring from full-time legal practice, I have been a non-executive director and have been very fortunate to serve as a director of companies across a wide range of industries, both in listed and unlisted entities for over 20 years. In particular, I have many years' experience as a non-executive director of highly regulated businesses. My other listed board roles are in the retail and services sectors, where great products and services for customers and clients are critical. I am the chair of Super Retail Group and also a non-executive director of Link Administration Holdings. In addition to these roles, I am a member of the National Board of the Australian Institute of Company Directors and I chair its National Corporate Governance Committee. I have a strong commitment to good governance as it provides the framework for your board and the senior leadership team to deliver strong and sustainable returns to you, our shareholders. With your support today, I look forward to continuing to play an integral role on the board of your company. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Sally. Very well said. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item of business are set out on the screen. Before moving the re-election of Dr. Sally Pitkin, are there any questions? As there are no questions, I now put the motion to approve item two, that Dr. Sally Pitkin be re-elected as a director of the company. I confirm that the board fully supports the re-election of Sally as a director. As I mentioned earlier, I have called a poll in relation to all items of business. If you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either the for or against box next to item two and hold on to your voting card until the end of the meeting. Move on to item three. Item three of the agenda is the election of Mr. Zlatko Todorovski as a director of the company. Zlatko joined the board as a non-executive director on the 23rd of May this year, following receipt of all regulatory approvals, and he is currently the chair of the Audit Committee. He is also a member of the Risk and Compliance Committee and the Investment and Capital Expenditure Review Committee. Details of Zlatko's experience are included in the director's report section of the annual report. I welcome Zlatko to the microphone to say a few words.
Thank you, John. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today I'm seeking your support to be elected to the Star Entertainment Group board as a non-executive director. As John mentioned, I've been a member of the board since May of this year and participated as an observer from October of last year. I'm very pleased to have been appointed as chair of the audit committee since I joined the board. And I'm also currently a member of the Risk and Compliance Committee and the Investment and Capital Expenditure Review Committee. I have over 30 years of executive experience across the oil and gas, logistics and manufacturing sectors, gained from my previous roles as Chief Financial Officer of Brambles Limited, Oil Search Limited and BHP's energy business. I have a strong background in corporate strategy and procurement, as well as deep finance expertise gained across capital markets, investor relations, accounting and tax. Also from oil and gas time, I've experienced in major, long-life capital projects and extensive international experience. I'm currently chairman of Adelaide Brighton Limited, and I've also been appointed as proposed non-executive director on the Coles board, subject to shareholder and other approvals being obtained for the demerger from Wesfarmers later this month. I was previously the president of the Group of 100, which represents Australia's most senior finance executives, and I was chairman of the Accounting and Auditing Standing Committee of the Australian Securities and Investments Commission. I'm ready to continue to commit my time and effort to fulfil the responsibilities of being a director on the Star Entertainment Group and seek your endorsement for my election. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Again, well said. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item of business are set out on the screen. Are there any questions on this item? As there are no questions, I now put the motion to approve item 3, that Mr. Zlatko Totgereski be elected as a director of the company. I confirm that the board fully supports the election of Zlatko as a director. If you wish, you may mark your voting card now and please tick either the for or against box next to item 3. Item 4 of the agenda is the election of Mr. Ben Heap as a director of the company. Ben also joined the board as a non-executive director on the 23rd of May this year, following receipt of all regulatory approvals. Ben is currently a member of the Risk and Compliance Committee, the Remuneration Committee and the People, Culture and Social Responsibility Committee. Details of Ben's experience are also included in the Director's Report section of the Annual Report. I note in particular that Ben has extensive experience in financial technology and digital businesses to complement the existing Board of Directors' skills and experience. I welcome Ben to the microphone to say a few words. Ben.
Thank you, John, and good morning, everyone. Like Zlatko before me, I'm seeking your support to be elected to the Star Entertainment Group board as a non-executive director. I joined the board as an observer in December and was pleased to become a non-executive director in May following regulatory approvals. As John mentioned, I'm currently a member of the Risk and Compliance Committee, the Remuneration Committee and the People, Culture and Social Responsibility Committee. My background and experience are in investment, financial technology and digital businesses. I am the founding partner of a business called H2 Ventures, which is a financial technology, data and artificial intelligence venture capital investment firm. Early in my career, I led the digital businesses for Tab Limited in my role as the group executive for e-commerce and corporate development. I'm currently on the board of a number of private companies, and I'm a member of the Australian Commonwealth Government's FinTech Advisory Group, which was established in 2016 by the then Treasurer, now Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, to provide policy advice in this area. I also have a wide range of experience and expertise in financial, asset and capital management areas, gained in my previous executive roles as the Managing Director of UBS Global Asset Management in Australasia and as the Head of Infrastructure for UBS Global Asset Management based out of New York. This experience enables me to provide input into the issues that are being considered by the board. With your support, I look forward to continuing to serve on the board of your company. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. Again, well said. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item of business are set out on the screen. Are there any questions on this item? As there are no questions, I now put the motion to approve item 4, that Mr. Ben Heap be elected as a director of the company. I confirm that the board fully supports the election of Ben as a director. In terms of the poll, if you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either the for or against box next to item 4. The next two items of business, items 5 and 6, relate to the remuneration report and the grant of performance rights to the Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Matt Bekier. As disclosed in the notice of meeting, there are voting restrictions applicable to these items. Votes cast on item 5 and 6 by relevant key management personnel or their closely related parties will be excluded unless they are holding directed proxies. As indicated in the notice of meeting, I intend to vote all undirected proxies in favour of items 5 and 6. Now, turning to item 5, the remuneration report. Item 5 relates to the advisory resolution to adopt the company's remuneration report in respect of the year ended the 30th of June 2018. The remuneration report forms part of the director's report and can be found in the 2018 annual report. The report contains considerable detail about the company's remuneration strategy and policy and directors' and executives' remuneration. I note that at law, the shareholder vote on this resolution is advisory only and does not bind the directors of the company. However, as a board, we take the level of support and the matters raised very seriously. I am pleased to advise that since this requirement was introduced, the company has consistently received favourable votes for its annual remuneration reports. For the 2017 remuneration report last year, 98.95% of votes were in favour. Details of the valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item of business are set out on the screen. Some of the common questions on question forms returned by shareholders related to the amount of remuneration and the value of short and long-term incentives paid to executives. I would like to take a moment to touch on this subject. I note that, like many organisations, we compete for talent. At this time of growth for the Star, it's very important that we remain competitive. Our approach to remuneration for executives takes into account comparable ASX-listed organisations with similar market capitalisation as well as appropriate industry peers. The Star Entertainment Group's reward programs are directly linked to performance, and our remuneration philosophy is designed to reward superior performance. Bonuses will only be paid where the company and executives have both met or exceeded their targets. As you will have seen in the remuneration report, the company achieved both its financial and non-financial targets set by the board under the short-term performance plan. However, only 85% of the total target pool was paid due to the varying performance levels of the underlying business units. In addition, the FY15 long-term equity award that was tested last month has vested. As announced to the ASX on the 9th of October, 99.65% of the performance rights granted to executives in FY15 have vested due to both the relative TSR and the EPS performance hurdles being satisfied. In that announcement, we also set out the EPS hurdle target in line with the company's commitment to retrospectively disclose this information. I now invite any questions regarding the company's 2018 remuneration report.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to reintroduce Sylvana Eccles from the Australian Shareholders Association.
Mr. Chairman, firstly, I'd just like to, on behalf of the ASA, note that it's good that there is ongoing board renewal and that all directors have skin in the game. Now, with regard to the remuneration report, the question I have, well, two points I'd like to make or just raise. With regard to STI, have you considered increasing the amount of the STI component deferred from the current 33% to 50% and having a longer actual deferral period? And with regard to the long-term incentive, currently 50% is paid at the 50th percentile with total shareholder return. ASA would prefer a more robust vesting scale for the TSR hurdle, for example, 25% paid at the 50th percentile.
Thanks, Sylvana. Can we take those under consideration and come back to you? Welcome your constructive comments and we'll factor them into our considerations in this coming financial year. Thank you. As there are no more questions, I now move that the remuneration report in respect of the year ended 30th of June be adopted. Again, I'm calling a poll on item 5, an advisory resolution to adopt the remuneration report. If you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either the for or against box next to item 5 and hold onto your voting card until the end of the meeting. The last item of business relates to the proposal to grant performance rights to Mr. Matt Beckier, the company's Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. It is proposed that shareholders approve the grant to Matt of a long-term incentive award equivalent to $2.9 million, which equates to 668,203 performance rights. The notice of meeting contains significant detail about the performance rights proposed to be granted to Matt under the company's long-term performance plan. As described in the notice of meeting, the number of performance rights is determined based on the formula of 2.9 million divided by the moderated face value of a performance right as at the 3rd of October 2018, which was $4.34 per performance right. The performance rights may vest on the 3rd of October 2022, subject to the satisfaction of applicable performance hurdles. If the performance hurdles have not been met on that test date, then any unvested performance rights will lapse. The equally weighted performance hurdles which apply in respect of the grant of these performance rights are relative total shareholder return, earnings per share, and return on invested capital. Details of the performance hurdles are set out in the notice of meeting. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect of this item of business are set out on the screen. Are there any questions? As there are no questions, I now move that approval be given to the grant of 668,203 performance rights to the Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Matt Beckier, under the long-term performance plan and on the basis described in the explanatory memorandum contained in the notice of meeting. The directors unanimously recommended the shareholders vote in favour of this resolution. In terms of the poll, please mark your voting card now by ticking either the for or against box next to item 6. I'll just bear with me for a moment as I explain how the poll works. I confirm that we will now conduct a poll in relation to all items of business, that is items 2 to 6. Upon entering the meeting, all shareholders and appointed proxy holders who are eligible to vote at this meeting received a green admission card. This card is your ballot paper and contains all resolutions of this meeting. Proxy holders who hold open votes will need to record a vote in favour or against the resolution on the ballot paper. If the shareholder appointing the proxy has given directions on the proxy form as to how the proxy should vote, then the vote will already be recorded in accordance with that direction. You need only vote those open votes on the voting card. I ask that if you have not already done so, you record your vote by placing a mark in either the box for or against each resolution. Once you have completed the voting paper, you may place it into one of the ballot boxes held by the share registry staff or place it in one of the ballot boxes near the exit. The independent scrutineer appointed for the poll will conduct a review of the poll papers and procedures before a determination of the results is made. Results of the poll will be advised to the ASX as soon as possible after this meeting. There being no further business, that concludes this annual general meeting, and I would like to thank all of you once again for your attendance and support. I invite you all to stay and join me, my fellow directors, members of the executive management team for refreshments, which will be served in Cucino Vivo upstairs on the lobby level. You can either go up the escalators behind the concierge or take the hotel lifts. There will be staff members outside to assist with directions to the restaurant. And finally, I'd like to play for you the new fly-through we've developed for Queen's Wharf, Brisbane. As you know, the footprint of the project will be bigger than initially planned. We're incredibly excited as now to be well into the excavation stage, and here is what the finished product will look like. Thanks again for joining us at the Star Gold Coast. Meeting closed. Thank you.